Let's pray together. Father, you are glorious. We're deserving of all honor, all glory, all praise. Father, it is you who should be worshipped, you who are on the throne. And so, Father, I pray that today, for just this little while, that we could remove all distractions and focus on you. Or that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, Lord, our hearts to understand the message that you have for us. And that, Lord, this would not be something that we just hear from your word, but, Lord, that we would be doers of your word as well. So, Lord, help me as I speak this morning. And, Lord, may we glorify you in all that's said and done here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 4 this morning, which is a rather lengthy passage, and we are going to read quite a bit of it. I must admit, as you're turning there, that this is not the easiest service that I've done, for obvious reasons. But my heart is truly with this place, and it has been for the past 3.5 years, and it will continue to be. And so, as I speak this morning, I pray that I speak clearly and speak from my heart, but also speak what the Lord has for us here this morning. John chapter 4, will begin in verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. And it was about the sixth hour, or midday, noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar, and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, See a man who has told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet four months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, that you may have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So that when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. This is a big passage, a great narrative, and we see Jesus doing a number of things here that are to be modeled by his followers. And so that's what we want to speak to this morning. I was preparing for this and I looked up a few statistics, or a statistic in particular. This comes out of Durham County website for 2010. And it's estimated that 21% of the people that live in Durham are evangelical Christians. And I would say are just evangelical or associated with evangelical churches. What I gather from the website is basically they took the people that are associated with evangelical churches and lumped them into that category. So all 21% of those may not be Christians. But the number that alarmed me is this. In 2010, 58% of those living in Durham classify themselves as nuns. In other words, they have no religious affiliation whatsoever. 6 years has passed, and probably that number's gone up and the 21% has gone down. But what we can say is at least 3 out of every 5 people that we talk to out in the streets, 3 out of every 5 are not affiliated with the church whatsoever. Therefore, not affiliated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as we look around, there's work to be done. There's a task that Jesus has given us. And I want to speak to that this morning, the task that is yet unfinished. We're given a clear commission in Matthew 28 to go and to make disciples of all nations. Acts 1:8 tells us to start right here where we are and then go from there. And so as we look around, there's plenty to be done. Jesus has given us a commission. He's also told us that he will never leave us or forsake us. So as difficult as the mission may be, we have the great commissioner with us at all times. So this is good news for us. But as we think about reaching the people of this community, as we think about, as we often do, filling the pews of not just this church, but churches in general in the area, we must ask ourselves, what do we do? Can it be done? How can this be accomplished? And I think Jesus models and gives us good insights here. And the word that we want to focus on this morning is intentionality. Intentionality. Having purpose about what we are doing. I think Jesus is intentional in 3 ways. The first of which is this. He's intentional in his interactions. He's intentional in his interactions. In the first few verses, particularly in 3 and 4, Jesus tells us what he's doing. He's heading from Judea to Galilee. Now, there are a few ways to get from Judea to Galilee. And verse 4 tells us, and he had to pass through Samaria. And sometimes we hear that he didn't have to pass through Samaria, but he went there to meet the woman. But Josephus tells us that that was the normal path. Although Jews did not interact with the Samaritans in a great way, this was the shortest path and therefore the normal path. So I think John is just making a statement here as Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee, therefore he's passing through Samaria. But one of the interesting things is that as he passes through, Jesus is about the Father's business. As he passes through, Jesus is about the Father's business. He knows in advance that there's going to be a well. He's going to sit at the well, and the woman's going to come to the well, and he's going to have a great conversation with her. But Jesus doesn't necessarily go out of his way. Sometimes he does, and sometimes we should. But in this particular case, I don't think Jesus goes out of his way. But just as he's doing the normal things of life, Jesus interacts with the Samaritan woman. And so as we go, and as we go throughout our normal lives, we have opportunities to meet 3 out of 5 people that we meet that have no religious affiliation whatsoever. And so in thinking about that, I was trying to bring some examples to light and think about how can we intentionally do this? How can I just not say this, but give you something to grab onto? What are we looking at here? Well, I think in general, I know most of us probably go to at least 3 places, if not weekly, at least monthly. And those are this, the grocery store, the gas station, and the pharmacy. Almost all three of those places are hit every single week. And most of the time we go to the same grocery store, maybe not the same gas station, but the same pharmacy. And so as we go, we're going to the same places, right? So I want to encourage you with this morning, as Jesus was intentional with his interactions, let's be intentional with our interactions. So as we go to the grocery store, as we go to the gas station, as we go to the pharmacy, why not do it the same time every week, the same day every week? Therefore, it's very likely that the person working there will be the same. We can have conversations with them. I know that gas can be cheaper at some places than others, but why don't we go to the same gas station and talk to the same clerk every week to have intentional interaction with these people? Just an example from my own life. Many of you know the past 2.5 or so years, I've been working at night at UPS, and there's a gas station right by the road that I turn onto, a Cruiser's. And for the past 2.5 years, I've went to that same gas station at least 3 times a week just to get something to drink. But what I've noticed is this. In 2.5 years going there the same time, there's only 2 guys that have been working there at night. 2. And so as I've gone to that place over and over and over again, those 1 to 2 minute conversations, I was calculating it yesterday, have probably turned into 5 to 6 hours worth of time that I've talked to those 2 guys in the past 2.5 years. And so what I'm telling you is we don't necessarily have to just disrupt our whole schedule, but to do things as we go. That's what Jesus models here. As he's going, he's already going, so he's about his Father's business as he's going. So what I want to encourage you with is find some ways that you can be intentional as you go. As you go. That's the first thing I want to leave with you this morning. The second thing is Jesus is intentional with his conversation. And Jesus is intentional with his conversation. So as we get into the story with Jesus interacting with the woman at the well, a story that we are quite familiar with, we know, for one, that it is way out of custom for him to be talking with this woman in the first place and asking her for water. But Jesus, as he has a gift for doing, he is God. He has a gift for doing. He turns the conversation into a gospel conversation. And it was intentional at the outset. And how he does it, he just takes what the woman gives him and takes those things and turns them into gospel conversation. In a way where the first thing that Jesus says to her in verse 7 is, "Give me a drink." And the last interaction that we have in that conversation is the woman saying, "I know that the Messiah is coming." And Jesus says, "I who speak with you am he." Talk about turning a conversation to a gospel conversation. Simply, "Give me a drink," and then next thing you know, he ends the conversation saying, "I am the Messiah." along the way, he does a few things that help her and guide her in that direction. He brings up water, and they have a conversation about water. He talks about living water, right? And then comes the difficult part. He points out her sins, which he can do in a way that no other can do. But using this model, I think, is important. We talk about intentional interactions, but as we have intentional conversations, I think it's important that we realize that in order to get to the gospel, we've got to point out the need for the gospel. Jesus here, as he had the chapter before with Nicodemus, right? You have to be born again, Nicodemus. You must be born again. Here, he points out the need for living water, right? And so, Jesus here points attention to her sins, and she recognizes that this guy is different, right? So, as I'm going to go back to my two guys that I talked about earlier. Along the way, we didn't have a gospel conversation every night. But if you go talk to those two guys, they know about Grove Park Chapel, and they know about the gospel. Because over and over and over, as we're intentional with our interaction, it becomes easier to be intentional with our conversation. People we know, we find out things about them. And then so as we find out things about them, Jesus already knows everything there is to know about this lady. It takes us a little time, right? So as we know things about them, we can relate to them in different ways. And they become to respect us, and we become to respect them. And we can point to Jesus in a way that glorifies God. And so in that way, we're intentional with our conversation. So Jesus here points out her need for the gospel. And they have a theological conversation of sorts. But at the end of it, what happens? He tells her that he's the Messiah. I don't know that she actually got there then, because she goes and she says, "Could this be the Christ?" But he made her think. And she goes and she says, "I don't know if everything this guy says is true, but I know one thing, there's something different about him." Something different about him in a way where she says, "Could this be the Christ?" In our daily walk, in our daily conversations, do people say that about us? Is there something different about us where they say something is different about them? She may not have gotten the gospel that first conversation. Jesus definitely brought it up. Not clear whether she understood it yet or not. But she knew something was different enough about Jesus to bring people to him. And in a similar way, as people interact with us, as people understand things are different about us, they're going to be willing to come where we tell them. If we invite them to church and they've seen our life, they've seen our walk, they're going to be more apt to come. If our walk matches our talk, they're going to be more apt to listen to the gospel that we have to present. And so as we interact intentionally, and as we converse intentionally, let's point to Jesus. Let's do all these things that Jesus is doing. He intentionally goes and meets with this lady, this woman at the well. He intentionally goes and guides the conversation to the gospel. But the last thing that Jesus does is the most important. Is he's intentional in the destination. And what I mean by destination is not a physical destination, but the destination is always back to the Word or Himself. Right? We have that same destination. As we converse, we point people back to this book because we say it's true and everything in here is life-giving. Jesus Himself had the privilege of being the Word, and so it all pointed to Him. As at the end of this conversation, He talks with His disciples. His disciples say, "Have you not eaten yet?" Jesus has sent the disciples to go get food, and they come back and He says, "I'm not hungry. I already have food that you don't know about." And His food intentionally teaches His disciples a lesson. His food is to do the will of the Father, the will of Him who sent me. So the disciples are going off getting food, and what he shows to them is this. Sometimes we're on our way to do something, but as we are intentional, God changes our course a little bit. So it may be that as you go to the pharmacy, as you go to the gas station, you may have had other plans to do other things after that, but you may get in a conversation, as Jesus did, that takes a little longer than expected, but it's worthwhile because we're already seeing the fruit of that now. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. We're supposed to be about the Father's business above all else. And what I'm afraid of is that as we go throughout life and as we come here each week and Dale preaches the gospel each week and tells us to go out and do certain things each week that the Bible commands, what I'm afraid of is that we get so busy we say, we'll put that off till tomorrow. We'll put that off to the next day. We'll put that off to the next day. And tomorrow gets here and there's always another tomorrow. But we need to be about the Father's business today. Jesus was about it today. And as the disciples came back and said, Master, do you need food? He said, no. I've already gotten my food. Joy from doing the will of the Father. And so Jesus is intentional in his destination. After this, he says that sometimes we wait around for the harvest. Sometimes we wait for people to come in the doors instead of going and seeking them out, being intentional. But he says that the harvest is ripe. In other places, Luke 10:2, he says the laborers are few. We're all called to be laborers. We need to go into the harvest and be intentional in our interactions, intentional in our conversations, and intentional in our destination. Notice at the end, the last few verses, starting in verse 39, the Samaritans, they come. Right, they come out of the town, and they come to Jesus. And they come to Jesus, why? Because of the woman's testimony. They weren't sure about this woman's testimony. Now, granted, her past, they were a little unsure about her, but she says, no, you've got to come see this guy. He's told me all that I've ever done. And so they come, but notice what happens. As she brings them to Jesus, notice what happens. And many more believed because of his word. That's verse 41. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Listen, as we are intentional, and as we bring people to the Savior, as we point people to his word, that's the destination we want to get them to. We take these intentional interactions, these intentional conversations, and we point them to his word because the word is life-changing. As she did that, they said, we no longer need you, we have Jesus. It wasn't that what she said wasn't important. What she said was crucial. Without her saying it, they don't come to Jesus. But they say, after we see the real thing, after we give people the real thing, that's all they need for life. They can abide in the Word, as John 15 says. Abide in Jesus. That's our destination. That's our ultimate goal as the church, that we don't just come here on Sundays and hear another message right out of the Bible, but that we go out and we minister to people and we reach people, and ultimately we take these things that we're doing out there and we bring them to Jesus. However that looks, in our homes, we minister to them with the Word. We bring them here where the Word is preached. We bring them here where the Word is prayed. We bring them here where the Word is sang. So that they're constantly getting the Word, because we know that Jesus is the one that transforms. And so all of our lives need to be about this transformative power that Jesus has that we don't have, and taking everything we have and pulling people along towards Jesus. Say, look, come see Jesus. Come see who has changed my life. Come to the altar, because he is the one that changes. You can keep on doing what you're doing, but unless you have Jesus, there's no ultimate fulfilling end in that. So as we minister intentionally with our interactions, our conversations, and ultimately intentionally bringing them to Jesus, God will bless that. In church, as we look around, things have changed. There was a day at one point in time, where people come to a new town and they just walk in the back doors of a church looking for a new church. That's not so anymore. That's not going to happen anymore. If we sit here and we wait around for people to come in the doors, that's just not going to happen. We've got to be intentional. Or yet, this 3 out of every 5 is going to grow to 4 out of every 5. We've got to be about the Father's business. We can no longer go by and say, you know what, I know that guy's backstory, I'll pray for him. We need to pray for him. But unless somebody ministers to him with the Word, he's never going to change. What if we're the one, what if we're the answer to that prayer? We've got to be on mission. We've got to have a purpose. We've got to be about reaching people for the gospel. That's what Jesus is about. And if we really say we follow Jesus, that's what we're going to be about. Why does he do it? He says, because I'm just doing the will of the Father who sent me. We have the same mission. We have the same purpose. And what I'm telling you is this. You don't have to go way out of your way and say, you know what, I need to cancel all these things off my schedule. In fact, it's probably better if you don't. But as you go, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's what he tells us. That's the last thing he tells his disciples. As you go, be my witnesses. So be intentional in how you interact. Be intentional with how you converse. Be intentional in the main point, your destination, where you want to get them to the gospel, to the word, because that's where the transformative power is. I want to leave you with that. I want to encourage you in that. I want to pray with you about that. Be my witnesses wherever you go. That's what he's called us to be. That's what I pray that we would be. I'll stand with heads bowed. Many times, I think about most of the people in this room, and I know most of you, we know the gospel well. It's hidden in our hearts. We do good things. We're great people. I know that to be true. But we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. That little kid's song, hide it under a bush. Oh no. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let your light shine for Jesus every day. Everywhere you go, as you go, be intentional. And be Jesus' witness everywhere you go. So this morning, I'm just calling on you. If you never accepted the Savior, do that this morning. Don't walk out of here this morning. I'm telling you, there's nothing outside of Jesus that can fulfill you. You know that to be true. I know that to be true. And so just surrender today. I pray that you wouldn't let one more service, one more day go by without saying, Jesus, you are Lord. I confess that. It's nothing that you're making him. He already is Lord. But you're just confessing that he is Lord. And maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I've been a Christian for a very long time, but I've never truly shared my faith with anyone. Make a commitment today to change that this week. Don't put off to next week. Do it this week. That's my prayer for you. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, that you've given us such a powerful message, such a powerful gospel, that there was nothing in ourselves that could have fixed what we messed up. But you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, and we lean on that sacrifice today. We lean on that Savior today. That's where our hope, our joy, our peace come from. That Jesus is Lord. And as a result, we want to live for Him in every area of our lives. Lord, help us to be intentional. Help us to think about, as we go, ways that we can share the faith, ways that we can minister to all the people that you've created. Lord, the way that we can minister to the 3 out of 5 that have no religious affiliation whatsoever, and all the rest of the people in Durham that don't know Jesus as Savior. Lord, burn that in our minds and in our hearts, that we cannot go by and do nothing. We pray for that, Lord. So, Lord, would you help us in that and help us to respond accordingly? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.